Tess Lucy on Suzy Radio. And in the studio this morning, I welcome Imogen Middleton from Surrey Heritage. Hello. Now, I understand you're the project manager, the project officer for Surrey Heritage of the Great War. That's really, that sounds like a really important job.
Oh, I don't know about that, but it's good fun. We keep busy. Myself and my colleague Kirsty, who's the senior project officer, we work together to deliver this Surrey and the Great War project, and it certainly keeps us busy and out of mischief. There's a lot to do and a lot to investigate.
Well, we're talking about the Great War and the people of Surrey. How did the Great War affect the residents of Surrey?
In so many ways. We've been getting volunteers to do lots of research for us to compile all these stories of people and places in the county and how the war affected them. And we've come across so much. First and foremost, I think the obvious one is family life. You've got husbands, fathers, sons, brothers all going off to fight in the war, going off to all the different fronts. I mean, didn't just fight in Belgium and France, there's Russia, modern day Iraq, which is called Mesopotamia back in the time, Turkey, and all these men going off to fight left gaps in Surrey in the workforce and at home, and the women had to fill those roles. Women had to go and work into the munitions factories, take over work on the land. They were ploughing fields, and there's some fabulous footage and photographs of women in their dresses ploughing fields.
Wow,
it's really good. And then sort of the women with the men gone had to look after the children, had to bring in an income. And so there's a massive gap in home life and, absolute sort of worry and agony of thinking about what their loved ones were doing out on the war fronts. And we've sort of been looking at letters and diaries of these women recording their worries and hoping that their loved ones are okay. And then we're sort of looking at schools as well. How was school life affected? It's not something that people often think about, but lots of teachers were called up to go and fight. Male teachers were called up to go and fight. Lots of women went to go and fill up nursing roles or work in munitions factories, as I've said. So teachers were gone. There was a teacher shortage in the First World War in Surrey and the nation as well. So school life was affected, children's education was affected because there were sometimes no teachers to teach them, and they also had to go and help out at home. School buildings were also requisitioned for military use. That means that the War Office told local authorities that these school buildings had to be used for military purposes, mm-hmm. whether that's maybe a hospital to treat soldiers or a training hall. So sometimes the actual school stopped. And where did all the, what happened to all the students there? And just after the war as well, there was people may know that there was an influenza outbreak. Mm-hmm. I've just come across some evidence of in Lingfield, the local school. I think it was out of 247 students, only 160 made it in October, November 1918, because everybody else had been struck down by the flu, and it was a really severe outbreak. And then we look at sort of home defence and daily life and how that was affected. There were air raids in Surrey in 1915. Not something people may know about. You associate air raids with, World War II and the Blitz. But German Zeppelins made it over across to London and down to Surrey. And Guildford was bombed in October 1915. And people did die. And people also may not realise that there were blackout restrictions in Surrey in the First World War. There's countless articles in local newspapers dating back to sort of 1915, 16, 17, 18, where they're being fined for showing lights at night time. They haven't drawn their curtains and they haven't dimmed their car lights if they've had a car. Cars were very rare back in the day. But there were blackout restrictions. There was rationing, especially towards the end of the war when the German U-boats were sort of restricting vessels coming in with food. There were restrictions on people, movement of people. Sports matches were cancelled because there couldn't be so many people gathered together in one time. Land was taken over for the growing of vegetables, mm-hmm. sort of like recreational grounds, sports grounds. They were all taken over for growing of food to help feed people on the home front. And then one of my favourite little facts is that, of course, horses were taken over to the war fronts to help the army, because horses were still being used in military combat. So they used, I think it was in Hawley, they used an elephant from the from the local circus to help plough the land. And if you ever go on the British Pathé website, and they've got footage of loads of footage there. But if you type in elephant and Hawley, there's footage of an elephant tossing hay bales and ploughing the field. I think that's just great. And it shows how people of Surrey had to adapt to the wartime restrictions and sort of things that had happened.
That's something you don't expect to see in Surrey, do you?
No. And then we also look at sort of foreign soldiers and civilians. Mm. German prisoners of war were brought to, there was a camp at Frith Hill near Frimley, and German prisoners of war, whether they were military, there were soldiers captured out on the war fronts, or just civilians that were living in Surrey at the time of military age and were therefore deemed a threat. So if you can imagine that, living near Frimley and suddenly having a camp of prisoners of war down there, and there's records in the newspapers of 5 escaped German prisoners. Ooh. And it hit the headlines of everybody was on the hunt for the escaped prisoners, and there's this great sort of sense of paranoia that people were terrified of a German invasion, and it was this real, you know, you really get a sense of people's worry that this was going to affect them. There were Canadian soldiers at Whitley. There was a military camp at Whitley. So Wilfred Owen spent some time there as well in 1916, but Canadian soldiers for the main part trained there. New Zealand soldiers were treated at Walton-on-Thames. There was a hospital called Mount Felix there. And Surrey was also home to 6,000 Belgian refugees. Ooh. during the First World War. And that's something you don't think about either. And Surrey people put up these Belgian refugees in their homes and looked after them. Money was raised for them. There were fundraising groups all raising money to help these Belgian refugees, who were displaced and had to flee their homes at the beginning of the war when the German army invaded. So there's all these little aspects that people don't really think about, and we're there to sort of find out about them and share them. We look at sort of health and welfare as mm-hmm. well. There were over 100 Red Cross war hospitals in Surrey, all treating wounded soldiers. And given that Surrey's so close to London, it was an absolutely key part of the country to treat soldiers, because they were near enough to get back to London and then be shipped off back to the war when they were feeling better. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, Surrey is such a beautiful county. Could you imagine anywhere better to recuperate and convalesce? And there were numerous sort of private convalescence hospitals as well in Polesden Lacey, the National Trust property.
Oh, yes.
That was used as a convalescence home for officers in 1915 and 16. And there were some absolutely wonderful photographs that the National Trust staff there have kindly shared with us of officers reclining on the lawn, recuperating after their wartime suffering. And there were asylums for soldiers who were suffering from mental health issues because of the war. So mm-hmm. we know it as shell shock. Mm. There were numerous hospitals at Brookwood, so Nethern and in Epsom as well, helping look after these soldiers and looking at how understanding of mental health issues in these soldiers and seeing that progress, because at the start of the war, absolutely no understanding at all. We're looking at treatments of them. And there was a real sort of thought and amongst Surrey people of we should look after these men and help them and help them recuperate. So Surrey people donated their cars, if they were wealthy enough to have cars, donated them to take wounded soldiers out for a drive around the Surrey countryside to sort of relax them and sort of soothe them, and people got together to raise money for to help buy, you know, sort of new equipment for the hospitals and medicine and that kind of thing. So there's this massive kind of patchwork of
activity. There's loads there,
and that's just summarising just a little bit of it as well.
Wow, goodness!
And there's more stories that people can read on our website. So if you go onto Google and just type in Surrey and the Great War, our website pops up, and we've got all these stories there. Just showing all these different impacts, and we've got individual stories as well. So everybody had a different experience in the war. Some made it back, some sadly didn't. Mm. But we've been collecting these individual stories as well. So I really recommend people go online and go to www.surreyinthegreatwar.org.uk and really sort of have a little look through what we've already been collecting. And if you're inspired by it, please come and sort of talk to us, and maybe we can hook you up with a research project as well.
So with so much information there, what would you say has been the hardest piece to put together?
Oh, that's a tricky question. I'd say it's those, as I've just talked about, those individual stories, because, I mean, people wrote down, they wrote letters, they wrote diaries, but they're not widely accessible. It's what people have in the attic, and unless people come to us and say, oh, I've got my great grandma's diaries of being a nurse, we don't know that they're there, so we can't collect the stories. So if you do have anything, have a little dig in your attic, or have a look under the bed, see what kind of family documents you've got, because these are really hard to find. We can go to the National Archives, there's online sources, we've got newspapers to look through for piecing together what communities were up to, and we can look through business records to see if there were sort of old businesses that date back to the First World War. We can have a look what they were up to. There's school records like Charterhouse down near Godalming. So a sort of established school like Charterhouse keeps absolutely beautiful records. But it's those individual stories that we find hard to get, and we're reliant on people, ordinary people, coming to us and saying, oh, I've dug out my great-granddad's war diaries, come and have a look. And we go, oh yes, brilliant. And then we can piece those together and put them on our website to share with everybody else. So yes, I'd say those are the hardest little pieces of information. Yes,
in a kind of like personal individual stories. But
yes,
so this is one of the ways that people can get involved, because I understand that Surrey Heritage are looking for volunteers.
We are, yes. We've got lots of opportunities. If you go onto our website, we have a whole page dedicated to all the volunteering roles that we have. But to give you a little summary, we're looking through old Surrey newspapers, and we're looking for volunteers to help us go through those. We've got eight newspapers to get through, and 12, is it 12 years? I keep getting them confused, but it's Surrey newspapers from 1914 to 1922, and we're looking through the whole breadth of the county, and we're covering everything, and we need people to help us go through, identify stories. There's stories of individuals, obituaries, rolls of honour, which are recording that men won medals. There's also sort of women forming together to create, you know, fundraising groups. We're looking for people to help us go through those. We're looking for people to take on research projects for us. We've got a whole load of topics that need looking through, or if someone has their own burning desire to research their own ancestors or research their own local town or village, we're more than happy for you to have a look, do that as well. We help all steps of the way. And then we're also looking for people to help us. We've got a new oral history project just being set up, and this involves interviewing people and talking to them about their family memories of what their granddad talked to them about or what their grandma talked to them about. You don't have to interview. We've got behind the scenes volunteering roles as well, working with sound, working with admin, and sort of working with data as well. So, and helping us out at events as we go. We tour the county. We're really keen to cover all the areas. We're here in the east, we go to the west, we go to the north and south, so we're looking for volunteers to help us with all aspects of the project. There's a lot to get stuck into, and all you need to do is have a little look on our website and then fill out a form online, and one of us, myself or Kirsty, will get back to you.
Certainly a lot there. But the Surrey Heritage, you've received a heritage lottery funds. Now, how is this money spent?
This money is specifically for the Surrey and the Great War, a County Remembers project, which is what I'm working on. And the main aim of the project is to bring together communities to research people and places in the county during the First World War. So we're looking at what people were up to, those hidden aspects of Surrey on the home front, but as well as keeping an eye on what the Surrey chaps were doing on the battlefields as well. So we're looking at Surrey men who were born here in the county, but also men who were maybe born outside of the county but fought in the Surrey regiments. There were two regiments, the East Surrey Regiment and the Queen's Royal West Surrey Regiment. So we're covering a wide group of people. We're looking at, you know, foreign individuals who are here in the county. We're looking at community groups, faith groups. We'd love to link up with local churches, mosques, synagogues, to find out what people were doing, what were faith responses to the war. There were 1 million Muslim soldiers in the British Army overall in the First World War, so we'd love to know what that Muslim response to the war was on a local level. We're looking at newspapers. The money is helping us index newspapers, which means picking out these stories that I talked about. We're going off and hosting events and also attending other events around the county to draw attention to what we're up to and maybe persuade people that they'd like to share their stories with us as well. We're looking at thematic stories as well, so I've talked about health and welfare, we're looking at defence, we're looking at law and order, what were soldiers doing when they came back home on leave. Some of them got up to some very cheeky business, so, as you can probably imagine, usually involving the local pub. And then we're also turning everything that we're collecting over the next couple of years, so the project, the website will continue long after the centenary period, but sort of as an active project, we're here until the end of 2018. Mm-hmm. We're going to turn everything into a commemorative book, so people can go along, come to Surrey History Centre, have a look at the book. We're collecting all the stories. Our website will continue. People can upload way beyond the centenary period. And we're hopefully also going to put together a walking app, so you can walk around your local area using the app to find out what was going on in World War One. Yeah, it's quite impressive. We've got a lot to do.
Technology today.
And then finally, we're also going to turn everything that we've collected into learning resources to put back into schools, because we think it's really important to engage younger generations in what was going on here in Surrey during the First World War and embed that knowledge so that those memories aren't lost and that young children can engage with what their grannies, great grannies and great granddads were doing. So it's quite a big project, and the money is covering a lot of areas for us to investigate. So please do get involved if it sparks your interest.
I understand that Surrey Heritage, you have an event this Saturday on at the Harlequin Theatre in Redhill.
We do. Well, it's hosted by Reigate and Banstead Borough Council. And we're sort of attending as part of their collective group of researchers and other stalls available. But it's 12 till 4, so noon till 4 p.m. And it's free entry, the all-important free entry. And it's called Discover World War One with Reigate and Banstead. And it's a really jolly afternoon of finding out about what was going on in this borough and this area during World War One. So you can bring along your wartime heirlooms and help with research for your family history. There's a jazz band, there's a vintage afternoon tea and family activities. I think there's face painting going on. And there's also a talk by a chap called Ian Chatfield from the Surrey Infantry Museum. I know Ian, he's a fabulous speaker, so I really recommend that you come along and listen to him. He'll be talking about Surrey men on the Somme and World War One. Mm-hmm. There'll also be film clips of the Somme, the Battle of the Somme, because at this moment, from July the 1st, as many of you may know, would be the centenary of the start of the Battle of the Somme, the infamous battle. But it was actually a three-month campaign, and it finished on the 18th of November. So these film clips will be very apt. So please do come along. We'll be there hosting a stand with all the information that we found out about life in Reigate and Banstead area during World War One, and lots of stories we'll be bringing with us. But it's also an opportunity for people to find out about how to get involved with the project. We'll be bringing along a few examples of what we've been discovering, and we'll be bringing some footage of home life in Surrey as well. We've got a little DVD we've put together of footage that we've sourced showing what people were up to on the home front. So yes, as I said, it's 12 till 4 p.m. this Saturday at the Harlequin Theatre, and it's free entry, so really do come along. It'll be well worth a visit.
Yes, definitely. I think I'm going to pop along as well. But some people might say, okay, it's been 100 years now, why do we keep doing this? What's the importance of keep remembering?
Well, remembering helps people. It's important because it ensures that the memory of what people did isn't lost. Everybody had an ancestor that did something in the First World War. My own ancestors didn't fight. They were in a reserved occupation, which means that they were in a job that was deemed too important to leave. My ancestors were farmers, so they were stayed behind to help with food production.
Of course,
but everybody had somebody who did something, and I think even if it's just worth remembering your own family's contribution to the First World War, whether you agree with war or not, it affected national life to such an extent, and it changed landscape of British history. So I think it's very important to embed that knowledge in the younger generations as well, so those memories aren't lost of what people did, because people did sacrifice a lot. Mm-hmm. And it's important not to forget individual contributions as well, both civilian and military. So, you know, it's very important.
Can I ask, I know a lot of these documents, like letters and diaries, obviously they're in pen and ink, but do you find it easier with a computer, or do you have to search through like newspapers and other items?
There's a mixture, actually. There are quite a few sources available online now for free to access. There are tribunals that are available online by the National Archives, and mm-hmm. these tribunals are for men who were conscripted to military service. So 1916 was the first year conscription. People were forced to join the army, and many men were either in occupations they deemed too important to leave, so they'd go up against a group of men who would, they'd put their case forward and say, I think I shouldn't join the army because of this. And and some men didn't want to fight. They objected on conscientious grounds.
Yes.
They didn't agree with war. I mean, for example, Croydon, which used to be in Surrey, had a very large Quaker community. And Quakers are pacifists, and they did not agree with the war at all. So there are lots of conscientious objectors who came up at these military tribunals. These are available to view online. There's also the British Red Cross VAD database, and VAD stands for Voluntary Aid Detachment. And these were men and women. People forget that men were involved as well. It's not just nurses, it's ambulance drivers, stretcher bearers. Mm-hmm. All these people involved with the British Red Cross had a personnel index card, and the British Red Cross have transcribed all of these cards. And they're all available to view online now.
Wow.
Thousands of cars, and they've just finished their project.
I bet that took a while.
It took a long time, and it's a fabulous resource. So if you think, or if you know that your ancestor was involved with the British Red Cross during the First World War, go online and search for them, because there's an absolute wealth of information there. So there are online sources. Some sort of the more personal, individual documents, they won't be online, because obviously it'd be with the family, a family record. But it's a lovely mixture. I love holding old documents, and I love looking at these letters and holding photographs, because they really bring a sort of sense of history, don't they? And
they really bring it
to life when you see that someone's scribbling in a letter or in a diary, and it really brings it to life for me. But it is really key that some of these sources are available online so that everybody can access them.
So if someone wants to find out more about this World War One project, they can go to your website?
They can, yep. It's www.surreyinthegreatwar.org.uk. All of our stories that we've collected so far are on there. You can register as a contributor if you have your own research, your own story to share with us. All details of our upcoming events are online, and details about how to volunteer with us as well. And all of our contact details, our email address and phone numbers are on there as well.
Fantastic. Well, Imogen, thank you very much for popping into the Suzy studio this morning. It's been fantastic to talk to you.
Thank you for having me.
And I hope that I'm sure it will, that all goes well on Saturday.
Thank you.
Imogen Middleton from Surrey Heritage, the project officer for Surrey in the Great War. And as she says, they are at the Harlequin Theatre at Warwick Quadrant in Redhill from 12 o'clock on Saturday.